Pod People.
Hi there. This is a podcast that you like to listen to called What Fresh Hell Is This? I'm the host that you like to listen to, Stanti Potenza. I'm a Libra. I love to spend time with my family, but not nearly as much as I love being alone in my own big boy apartment. And I used to have big Hongalonga mommy milkies. Where did they come from? Where did they go? Stay tuned to find out. Thanks, modern medicine.
Satan?
Yes, Joanne.
What fresh hell is this?
This is gonna be great, I promise.
Breaking news, if you are receiving this right now, it's because you're a huge bitch.
Ugh, Christ. What fresh hell is this?
Hello and welcome to What Fresh Hell Is This with me, Stanzi Potenza. I hope that you've all been having a swell week. I basically took this week off. I spent it in solitude because last week my family came to visit and I needed a little bit of a breaky break. I love them. I love them so much. Every second we spend together is bliss. It brings me joy, I swear, but I needed some time for myself because that was a lot. So my mom came from Massachusetts with her boyfriend, and then my older sister came from Pennsylvania, and my sister wanted to see Jujutsu Kaisen, the movie, which was super good. Very happy that we saw that. True New York experience, because as I was sitting there, and this is a testament to how good the movie was, as I was sitting there, a rat walked past my foot and I was just like, nah, fuck it, man. Like, I'm not gonna make a deal about this right now. I'm alpha. Like, I'm not gonna fucking do anything. Movie's really good. I want to continue watching this. So whatever. The movie ends. I'm like, I look at my sister. I'm like, yeah, there was a rat just like chilling there for a good long while. But you know, it's New York. Authentic. We love the authenticity. Went out after to, you know, see my mom again, and my friend Roger joined us. And the DJ recognized me. So shout out to her. Shout out to the DJ at Mr. Purple, because she got us a free round of drinks and that was super nice. And we had a great time. Because I didn't think that we were gonna be able to see this movie, which was the whole reason that she was coming in the first place, I got her tickets to Sleep No More, which if you've never been, I highly, highly recommend it. It is an immersive theatrical experience, and it's basically Macbeth through a film noir lens. So you're walking around this hotel basically, and you're wearing a mask the whole time, like a full on, full face covering, and watching the characters kind of do their thing. And it's really cool and it lasts for a while. And the whole point is that it's like an individual experience. So when you get in there, you don't stick with your friends, you just go off on your own and you have this, your own immersive experience. And it's like kind of like erotic and a little eerie. It's like you're in like a 1930s hotel. And it's so cool. And the set is just incredible. And it's like multiple floors. So you get a little workout in there too, because the grind never stops. But, you know, big jump from being like, I'm going to take her to see this anime movie that's like $20 a ticket, to like, I'm going to take her to Sleep No More, where it was like $400 in total that I spent. And they're all talking in a transatlantic accent to you. And everyone's hot. Everyone's like very sexy. So I told her, I was like, let's get dolled up and do this thing. The host is this tall, beautiful woman. She's like, oh, hello there, ladies. I'm like, I'm in love with you. A man walked by me and he was like, oh, and now the sun gets to play at night. And I'm just like, oh, no one says things like that to me. I was like, hoo-hoo-hoo, fanning my fucking pussy. I was just like, oh, calm down, girl. Calm down. She's so touch-starved. I was like, oh. But I just needed to talk about it and highly recommend Sleep No More. But moving on. So yes, I took some time to just be in solitude, but also I started going to the gym a lot more recently. I was doing 3 days a week and now I'm doing I mean, last week, I think I did 7 days like a true fucking warrior alpha. Insane. Like, I am the wolf. I'm working on my legs. I'm working on everything. It's not even that I have like a exact goal I want to hit. I just want to be stronger. I also think that's very important in New York anyway. You should be strong. You don't want to look weak walking down the streets of New York. Like, I want people to fear me. And so I'm gaining like a ton of muscle. I am almost leg pressing 300 pounds right now. I think I talked about this before, but I'm almost getting to can crush a watermelon with my thighs level. And when I get there, I will record a video of me crushing watermelon with my thighs. And if that video has already happened by the time that you listen to this, just Google like Stanzi sexy thigh watermelon crush. Like, I'm sure that it's gone viral. I'm sure it's on the hub. It's being shared around on Reddit. So enjoy that. I get a lot of people who reach out to me about the gym because obviously I'm not the skinniest person in the world. And a lot of people message me because they are intimidated by the gym. And honestly, I think the idea of the gym, when you're not familiar with it, is scary because you expect it to be full of gym bros. And it is. I'm not going to lie and say that it's not. I go to the gym and like some dudes are training. They are about to like fight to the fucking death. Like, their lives are on the line. I'm like, are you, what gladiator-esque type shit are you amping up for that you're doing this right now? It looks like they're fighting for their lives in there. I'm just trying to be cute and be like, I want to crush a watermelon between my thighs. And they're like, they're putting their lives on the line every day. There's a guy and I'm like, someone must be after you. There's no way that you're doing this without someone like on your tail. He brings like a jug of milk with him to the gym. It's a great way to people watch. Everyone has a story. And it's so interesting. But, you know, there are a lot of different types of bodies at the gym. So if you're intimidated, if going to the gym is something that you want to do, and you're intimidated, listen, I'm doing it. There are a lot of people who look like me who are in the gym and just being fucking normal and working out. Not everyone is getting ready for the fucking Hunger Games. But that being said, also, I did create a playlist that you can look up on Spotify called The Worstie Grind a Clock playlist, and it's full of songs that I listen to when I'm on the treadmill, because something that I do on the treadmill, and it's a very popular form of exercise, it's called 20-33, which is when you put the incline of the treadmill at 12, so you're basically walking uphill for 30 minutes and 3 miles per hour. And you might be thinking like, oh, so you're just walking uphill. Yeah, no, it fucking sucks. It sucks, dude. I couldn't do it the first 2 times I tried it. I made it like halfway. I think the first time I made it to like 18 minutes and I was just like, I'm tapping out. Dunzo. I am done with this. And now I can do it and it's easier, but you're still drenched in sweat after. It's not easy. So I need to listen to music to get me hyped. And a lot of music on that playlist is like anime theme songs, because maybe this is like the actor in me, but I need to think that I am training to like fight some fucking titans. Like, I'm on the treadmill and I'm just like, I need to get stronger and defeat the titans. Mikasa needs me. I need to defend my comrades. Like, I have to get into the mentality of like, if I stop walking on this treadmill right now, all of my friends and loved ones will die. I need to get into that mental space to really get into it. I'm like, the titans are after me. So a lot of it is anime sort of theme songs, but also there's like BTS on there and just some other, like, I think Big Time Rush is on there. They have this song called Halfway There. If you know, you know. Like, when I'm 15 minutes into the treadmill, I'm like, we're halfway there. Just like covered in sweat. It's getting my eyes. They start burning. So that's my whole gym spiel. If you go to the gym, listen to that playlist. I hope that it gets you amped up. We'll be right back, Worsties. Welcome back. So yeah, I have been working out a lot recently. I've also been fucking exhausted. I'm trying really hard to get into a better sleep pattern. It is not working thus far. I'm trying to listen to all the ASMR girlies on YouTube that like put their hands in front of the camera and they're like, it's okay, you're gonna be fine. And I'm like, I'm trying to let them calm me into a deep sleep, and it's not working. So that's fun. It's probably also like due to the fact that I've just been like, I don't know, burnt out a little bit, kind of frustrated with stupid internet discourse. If you know me, you know that I hate chronically online discourse. I hate when people have stupid arguments that like real mentally stable people out in the real world do not care about, because my job is on the internet. I have to see it all the time. People getting frustrated about stupid things that only matter on certain parts of the internet. And I'm like, no one talks about this in real life. Someone like referred to it kind of as like yassified bullying, because every week there's a new witch hunt where people decide to get mad at one person for having some like weird nuanced take about something. Everyone has to like give their two cents. It's just like, here's why this is problematic. And I'm like, no one cares in real life. No one cares about this stupid take. No one cares. It just bothers me. I get so frustrated. I'm like, why are we fighting about this? Who's benefiting from this conversation? No one. No one. It's just yassified bullying that, I don't know, makes people feel good about themselves. And I'm like, here's the things that we're all gonna die and we're gonna accomplish nothing. And then the world is gonna get fucking vored by the sun. Yeah. Anyway, I just needed to vent a little bit. On the other hand, sometimes people do this other thing that also pisses me off. When you're talking about a problem, like maybe you're talking about mental illness, or you're talking about LGBTQ rights or like trans issues. It's usually like a social justice type thing. And then some fucking doofus in camouflage shorts who wears hiking boots with tall socks is like, you know, it's just really ridiculous that we're even talking about this when there are children, starving children in Africa right now. What? What the fuck do you know about Africa, Derek? What? And it's like the oldest comeback. It's the oldest like retort to like anytime someone talks about an issue. It's like, really? Really? We're talking about this when there are children in Africa starving? I'm like, you don't know a goddamn thing about Africa. And you certainly haven't done a goddamn thing for Africa. What do you think is going on in Africa right now, man? What do you think is happening? Name five African countries or you're not a real fan of Africa. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm like, genuinely, what do you think Africa is? Because like in their minds, I think all they see is just like dirt, no water anywhere. Probably like a photo that they saw from a magazine from like the 80s of a child near a river that had like no water in it. And that's ingrained in their brains. And they think that there's just like no functional civilization in Africa. What the fuck? And also there's like starving children here too, man. But it's like they always got a default to Africa. It is so insane and it makes no sense. Like, what have you done? What have you done for the world, Derek? Let me know. You don't know a goddamn thing about that continent. You don't know a goddamn thing about any country in Africa. Shut the fuck up. That's all I gotta say about that. This is like a very ranty episode, but I've just got a lot on my mind. And I needed to say it. I needed to speak on this because like, it happens all the time. Whew. That felt really good. That was like cathartic. I feel much lighter. And not just because of the gym. I feel mentally and emotionally lighter. I just feel like I got a huge weight off my chest. And speaking of a huge weight off my chest, let's talk about the literal weight off of my chest that everyone has been asking me to talk about. The people want to know. Let's talk about my tits. So back in July, I got breast reduction surgery. And that is something that I had wanted to do for a really long time. I had really huge fucking titties, you guys. I had these giant Honga Longa Gazunga Mommy Milky 9000s. And it's been like that for a really long time. My mom's packing, and I got that. She handed that down to me. They just kept growing, though. Like, I remember I was, like, one of the first kids in school to start wearing bras. And some fucking kid named Mark was like, are you wearing a bra? And I was like, I was, like, shocked and appalled. I'm like, oh, my God. So it's been just a long journey of just having, like, these really, like, gigantic titties. And it just got to be too much. My back was fucking killing me. It was not fun. I couldn't sit up for a long period of time because, like, my shoulders would start to really hurt. Also, I would have, like, really sharp pains in my lower back. And having giant tits also makes it harder to work out. I could literally hit myself in the face with my titties. And I would do it sometimes for fun. Like, I would jump high, and then I would get hit in the face with one of my tits. Someone took a slow motion video of it once when I was in college, and it was just like, of just me getting like a fucking black eye from my tit. It was a lot. And it came time that I was like, I need to do something about this because it's not fun. It's not cute. I know there are like tit guys out there. They're like, oh no, why would you do that? And I'm like, first of all, literally stick your head in wet cement and stay there. Second of all, like, I don't know how anyone could have found it sexy. I mean, it just looked like two giant white whales were dragging me down to the bottom of the ocean. You know, when you hear stories about people that get like dragged down by whales when they're like scuba diving or some shit and like brings them down. That's what my tits felt like. And there were two of them. And they weren't the same size either. It was like they were both racing to the bottom and one of them was winning. And that was upsetting. That hurt me the most. The thing about breast reduction surgery is that it's hard to get approved and get insurance to cover it. And I was dealing with basically exclusively male doctors, which also like adds another layer to it. But they were all like very cool. My primary care doctor immediately was like, all right, I'm going to send a letter of recommendation for you. My insurance approved it. And I met my plastic surgeon. And this is probably like the weirdest part of this experience, which is like when you go, you basically just have to like stand half undressed in front of this man you don't know. In a very, like, non-sexual way. Like, it's not like you're standing there and he's like, oh, hello. And you're like, oh, hello, sir. Here are my titties that you're gonna slice into. It's very medical. It's very uncomfortable. It's, like, really not a sexy thing at all. You're just kind of, like, standing there, like, tits out. And some guy's just, like, grabbing them and turning them. Not like a wooga, but like, you know, just kind of like seeing what the situation is. So he's maneuvering them like he's dealing with fucking car parts. And then he goes and he like washes your hands and you're just like, am I dirty? But obviously he's a doctor and that's what they're supposed to do. And then he's like, yeah, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this and this. And I'm going to make a slice right here and yada, yada. And we'll do liposuction here. We'll definitely need to do it on your right side. And I was like, I thought it was a lefty that was the issue. I guess somewhere down the line, my tits had gotten into a fight and they needed to go like separate ways, quite literally. So they needed to go off in their different directions, which like wasn't fun for me. But overall, it was a very positive experience. The surgery itself, if you've never had surgery before, I mean, you're literally on the operating table and you're talking to them. And then it's like you wake up in bed. However many hours later, it's like, what the fuck? I've never been under anesthesia before. It's like a really weird experience. Something that I felt very alpha about was that when the surgery was over, they called my mom and they were like, you know, she'll probably be a couple hours. The anesthesia has to wear off and whatever. And then a half hour later, they called her and they're like, she's fucking ready to go, dude. She's ready to fucking bounce. She's out of here. Like, she's ready to go. My mom was like, oh, shit, okay. She came. And I remember, like, when I woke up, the first thing I heard was my nurse talking to another nurse. And she was like, the girls are looking good. And I was like, thank you, queen. Recovery definitely took a long time. The thing about it, it's not the cut, the incisions that hurt. If they do liposuction, it's the liposuction that really fucking hurts. Because I guess liposuction is just violent. It is like a violent act. So I had very bad bruising on my sides. But oh my God, my back has never felt better. It was a really incredible experience. All of my doctors were super nice and professional. And they're pretty much at the ultimate sort of size because it takes a while for them to get to their final destination, I guess. So I went from a G to a D, which is like amazing, which is like super great. So if you're, you know, on the fence about getting a breast reduction, highly recommend it. They might want you to do physical therapy beforehand, which I did. It was a fucking joke. I was like with this doctor and he's cracking my back and doing all this shit. And like, we both knew I was just doing this to get approved for titty surgery. But we had a good time anyway. We made the most of it. So I wish you the best. And I'll probably also make a longer video about this just to go into more depth. But I talked a lot on this episode, ranting, really just letting it all out. And I want to know kind of how y'all worsties feel about these more monologue driven episodes, because I want this to be the best experience for you. So let me know in my DMs. And until next time, I hope that you guys have an amazing week. What Fresh Hell Is This was written by me, Stanzi Potenza. It was co-created by me and my friends at Pod People, who make this podcast come to life. Rachel King, Matt Sav, Chris Jacobs, Danielle Roth, Carter Wogan, and Anne Foos. Special thanks to Danielle Harvey at Dulcedo and all of my friends and family. If you love What Fresh Hell Is This, share it with a friend. And if you really want to over-deliver, please leave a 5-star review and rate us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow me at Stanzi Potenza on TikTok and at Stanzi Potenza everywhere else to stay up to date on everything I've got going on. Until next time, I will see you in hell.